Welcome to Drive Time, the UCLA Anderson Fully Employed MBA Program Podcast. My name is Dylan Stafford. I am an assistant dean here at Anderson, and I am your host. With me today on the phone is a 2012 graduate of FEMBA, so he's 5 years out of the program. Today we have the pleasure of talking with Brian Lopez, who has just launched his own company. He is the president of the Data Analysis Group, Inc., and kind of big new stuff in his world, and we're going to give you a little bit about his background. He's an engineer who's become a forensic accountant who can find fraud anywhere it can be found. He's a certified fraud examiner, and as I said, just the entrepreneur of the moment, just getting started, going out on his own. So we're going to talk about Brian's background, some of the experiences he had during FEMBA, and then exactly how those have rolled over in the last 5 years as he's had a very successful career being employed and is now launching on his own, and will end, as we've been ending all our podcasts, with some of his personal productivity tips that he might be willing to share that have been supporting him. So, Brian, thank you so much for being with me today.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Dylan. I really appreciate it.
Oh, and I forgot to tell everybody, the way Brian and I got connected. Okay, so we just had Alumni Weekend last weekend. It's his five-year reunion. He's going to tell you some of the fun about that and seeing everyone. But he actually reached out to me just a couple weeks ago. My favorite alum, you get the total gold star, Brian, because he's saying, "Hey, Dylan, I've got a great person who's interested in FEMBA. Could you talk to him on the phone?" So that actually kind of got us back in communication. And that's when I saw your new signature line on your email. And I said, "Uh-oh, president, I want to talk to Brian. I want to hear what's going on." So thank you for referring your colleague. That was a good conversation too. So why don't we let people kind of get to know you a little bit, Brian. Why don't you kind of walk us through a little bit of your undergrad education and a little bit of your life before FEMBA for just getting people oriented.
Sure. Thanks, Dylan. And yeah, with the student, I'm always excited when someone starts asking me about the Anderson program, anything I can ever do to kind of steer people towards us and towards the Anderson family, more than happy to. And the candidate hopefully will enjoy a lifelong career at Anderson and be part of the community there. So, about me. So yeah, as you mentioned, my background was in engineering. I did my undergraduate work at the University of Washington up in Seattle, and one of the main reasons that drew me up there was their engineering program and the chance to go out of state. And I visited the campus on a sunny day, which is very rare, so they kind of sold me on that. And then the rest of the time was cloudy, but no, it was a really great experience. And undergraduate engineering program there was great. And so, but I knew, I learned early on in my career also about masters in business and how, from an engineering standpoint, it really just complements kind of the technical foundation that you learn as an engineer, more of to increase your kind of business acumen and just give you insights to other things that, normal traditional engineering programs don't give you. And so I knew that was going to be one of my long-term goals. So, as an undergrad, I was still trying to figure out my way and what engineering discipline I was going to go into. I had a strong interest in electrical engineering and also industrial engineering. And I did a double E internship, which was great. I worked for a firm where I was doing, looking at these hybrids and testing these hybrids for the Apache helicopter system for their navigation and missile defense and things like that. And while it was interesting work, I just knew that it wasn't for me. So something good came out of the internship. It told me, kind of let me know what I didn't want to do. Mm. So when I went back to school, I was talking to some counselors and said, I really need something that's broader. I want to have something where I'm more of a generalist and I can, be more of a management and high level. And so that counselor, steered me towards industrial engineering, which was great. I got to take, classes from all different engineering disciplines, from mechanical, metallurgical, chemical, you name it. And so that really was something that I enjoyed very much, but always in the back of my mind, knowing I wanted to go back and really for more of a kind of a business degree. And so when I graduated, I had actually finished an internship with Boeing in their Rocketdyne division. They gave me an offer, but still I knew that there was something more that I wanted, something that would fit me better. So I also got an offer from Accenture up in the Bay Area to join them and do more general technology consulting, which was perfect for me. Unfortunately, the timing didn't work out. It was during the 2001 dot-com bubble when that burst, and so I was left, trying to figure out what my next move was going to be. So at the time, you know, my family was in the restaurant industry, so I went back to working for them and, you know, filling up vending machines and you know, doing hard labor, really appreciating what I had, you know, just accomplished up at Washington, but really figure out what my next move was. So one thing that I always done and did up at school was tutoring kids in math and science, and so I continued that to try to make some extra money on the sides. And one of the individuals that I was tutoring, his father was a former FBI agent who had since retired from the FBI, was a partner at Anderson, had left before the collapse of Anderson to start up KPMG's white-collar crime practice. You know, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the Big Four and a lot of the top-notch consulting firms do have a forensic unit specializing in fraud and misconduct type investigations. So a lot of what the FBI and IRS would do, but on the private side, because you know, law enforcement doesn't take every case. And so there's times where a company might hire you to figure out, hey, the CFO embezzled, or there's allegations that the CFO or CEO embezzled. And we need to figure out if they did, how much, and how much it took, and who else is involved. And, you know, we need to protect ourselves, our shareholders, if they're a public company. And so I got really involved in all that fraud work with kind of an eye towards the technology end of it. Forensic technology is the incorporation of different technology tools into the forensic and forensic investigation. So that bridges everything from forensic data analytics, so analyzing massive amounts of data. It's also forensic technology when you take someone's laptop, a computer, and things like that, image their hard drive, look for all the nooks and crannies, things they deleted, things they might have created, and incorporate that into the investigation. So I got heavily involved in that at KPMG while I was there. And then towards the end of my career, when the partner was retiring, that's really when I focused my time back towards, or my focus back towards business school, thinking, you know, now's the time to go back. And, you know, I have a good amount of work experience in my belt. I know this is something I want to do. I know that there's a market out there for me in terms of data analytics, and I want to really, you know, take hold of that and figure out how do I become better in that area. And an MBA, I felt, would help me get there. So I applied full-time to full-time programs across the country, UCLA being one of them. And at that point in time, my then-partner kind of gave me a little curveball saying, you know what, I'm not going to retire. Actually, I'm going to open my own firm, and I want you to lead that with me. I want you to help me develop it and, you know, be their forensic technology lead at the firm and do what you're doing now at KPMG, but help me do it over there. So that really changed my thinking in terms of, you know, quitting and going back full-time. I, you know, obviously wanted to do something where I could stay with him and really get that experience of opening that firm, but also, you know, fulfill that goal of getting going to an MBA. And that's why Fembo was a perfect fit. You know, I remember talking to you, Dylan, back in the day about, you know, this is what my situation was and all the encouragement and advice you gave. And so I applied to Fembo, got in, I was really excited. And here I was, you know, starting a new firm with a partner and then also starting this new program. So, you know, my ability to take what we learned on a daily basis and apply it to kind of this entrepreneurial setting was totally invaluable. You know, the input that I got, you know, the network of friends that I made and their insights, and to be able to kind of, you know, take those principles and ideas that we're learning and really apply them on the job were invaluable. So, needless to say, I was very busy.
Yeah, I imagine.
One thing about the forensic space is it's not a 9-to-5 job. We're on call. You know, the best analogy is like we're the fire department, where you don't know when the next fire is going to be or when it's going to hit, but you got to be ready. So that posed a lot of challenges with working and juggling school. But, you know, somehow I survived. I don't know. Looking back, I don't know how I survived. But, you know, it was challenging, but it was also very, very rewarding. And then, you know, a couple changes. While I was in school, the firm that we had was acquired by a larger firm that we had an alliance with, and it just made sense to kind of merge with them. So now I went from being a really big firm to a small entrepreneurial firm back to kind of a middle-tier firm. Year after being with that new firm, they merged with a firm of equal size. So now I'm back to being, you know, somewhat of a large firm. And then about 2 years ago, I left and joined Grant Thornton. And at that time, the partner I was working for retired, and I was leading the forensic practice for the last 2 years out of L.A. So, again, focusing on fraud and misconduct investigations with a real heavy focus on analytics. All these big firms are really focusing towards analytics, incorporating them into how they do decision-makings, and also just from risk-based. You know, all these audits that you hear go bad, I mean, a lot of times they're not really incorporating or having incorporated a lot of these analytic fundamentals, but they're starting to get there. And, you know, to mitigate risk to the firm and also to mitigate risk to shareholders and people, you know, holding ownership in these companies to try to reassure their, you know, that there's no fraud and that the money's, you know, being well kept and looked after. So And then about 2.5 months ago, I was kind of presented with an opportunity to go off on my own, which was one of the original essays that I wrote for Femba, was that I was going to start my own firm in data analytics. And I finally am able to achieve that now. And a lot of that, obviously, can attribute to Anderson and my time at Femba to be able to be comfortable and have the requisite knowledge to do that. Granted, there's always things you can learn, but you know, I would never have been able to be in the position I am now without that experience at Anderson. So that, for which I'm really thankful.
Well, that is quite an overview. And just to help people who are listening, so you graduated undergrad in 2001, and you were with KPMG from sort of 2000, you know, start of 2002 to 2008, and then went from there to Durkin Forensic for a couple years, and then Clifton Larson Allen, and then from there to Grant Thornton. So, I mean, it's been busy. So you would have been, what, 7 years out of undergrad when you started Femba, basically 7-8 years out, and then you're in parallel starting the new company with your boss who's gone on his own. So that was a busy window. And then, yeah, you graduated 2012. So here you are five years post-graduation, a couple months into your brand new firm. So I just want to kind of recap it all, because you actually have kind of been a busy, you've been a little bit busy. And now you're married, right?
Actually recently engaged.
Recently engaged.
So.
Okay, good. So you still, and you have a personal life, you know?
Yeah. You know, everything that they say you're supposed to do once you quit your full-time job is to go buy an expensive ring, you know, go to Europe, you know, buy a new house, all the things, you know, that you're supposed to do. So I'm definitely doing backwards, but everything's been so great, and I'm really thankful.
All right. Well, so that's the overview, listeners. Thank you, Brian, for having a cool life and sharing it with us. You know, a couple things we talked about as we were getting ready for our interview. You know, let's take people back a little bit to some of your experiences during school, that you could see, you know, that are really kind of tying into where you are now. I mean, obviously you educated yourself, you know, you took your engineering starting point, your 6 or 7 years of working with forensics, and then you took the coursework you took here. So we can talk academics. We can also talk experiential. I know you, your global access program, your GAP company was in Korea, and you did one of the exchanges to Seoul National
Yep.
University.
Yep.
And we forgot to tell people you were in the Tuesday Thursday section. So,
yes.
So let's kind of walk people through not your entire Femba experience, but you know, some of the things that sort of stand out to you now as you look at, oh my God, I'm 2.5 months into launching my own firm. You know, I made
sure.
That investment, and how's it coming together for you?
Yeah. So there's so many different, things that I got from my experience at Femba. So, you know, from an academic standpoint, like I mentioned before, having the, you know, the engineering background, it was pretty structured in terms of the undergraduate learning. There weren't many opportunities to kind of take, you know, quote-unquote electives outside of the engineering discipline. You know, we did get a couple things here and there, but nothing really more business-focused. So my, you know, one of the goals I wanted to do was just really, you know, broaden my academic acumen and round myself out professionally from, you know, more from a, you know, business standpoint. So all those different classes that I took, the core classes, and then I really had a real liking towards drive towards entrepreneurship, because I knew one day I wanted to do what I'm doing now, and those classes would come in handy. In addition to, like, you know, I took a lot of finance classes just because being a forensic accountant or a forensic investigator, there's numbers involved always, and so. You know, having more of that broad-based finance really, really did help me. So, you know, right away, even in certain cases I took on that had, you know, issues with valuations or improper, you know, inflation of earnings and things like that, those classes really beefed up my acumen in that area. And it helped me from as a forensic professional, helped me tremendously, you know, not only from the professors, but also just the network of individuals there. The makeup of our class was fantastic. A lot of iBankers and people in finance. And so I could really lean on them and really ask them some questions that otherwise, you know, when you're in a forensic investigation, you don't have the ability to stop and really, you know, satisfy your curiosity on certain areas. You need to know what you're doing, and you're kind of in this vacuum and you're doing this investigation. So that helped me out tremendously in my career, just from the academic standpoint. you know, I was fortunate enough, you know, to go through the FEMBA program and then also be able to apply those things on a daily basis. So those, you know, from an academic standpoint, I can't speak, you know, high enough about it. You know, and then from kind of the broader soft skills and networking and just, you know, time management, you know, that's one of the things you have to learn, just because there's so much coming at you between work and school and figuring out how to prioritize things. How do I get everything done? And how do I be responsible also to my other, you know, group mates? And so that learning experience helped, you know, tremendous amount too, just because I've always faced that. And, you know, this really helped me practice that and become more of an effective professional and effective leader. You know, how to really leverage other people around me, how to really leverage my teammates, and all that stuff was directly applicable to my professional career. So, and then, you know, all these other classes, the soft skills classes, the leadership foundations, you know, entrepreneurial, I mean, all that stuff is what helped me, you know, get to where I'm at now and opening my new firm. I without understanding what those things are and how to apply those, you know, I would never have been able to even consider opening my own firm. And I remember even writing my essays thinking to myself, man, this sounds like a really cool idea. I have no idea how I'm going to be able to do this. But, you know, fast forward 5 years after graduation and, you know, here I am, and I'm able to take that stuff and you know, able to kind of complete the circle and fulfill what I set out to do. So, you know, everything from an academic standpoint and also the network, you know, I rely heavily on my network, my Anderson network. I reach out to folks all the time. And that's helped tremendously too, because you know, in the forensic profession as well, you know, there's times when you're into an industry or into an area that you might not fully understand. And because of, you know, the such a broad range of backgrounds and individuals I met at Anderson, I could pick up the phone or send an email to a colleague and really get some firsthand knowledge. And, you know, otherwise I would never have access to that information. So, you know, from a networking standpoint, that part's invaluable as well. So, you know, kind of all those three points, you know, really have helped me get to where I'm at. And again, without any of those, I would never, you know, I wouldn't be able to say that I opened up my own firm today. So hopefully I kind of answered the question there. I'm not sure if I missed anything.
No, that's great. Yeah. I love the, you know, I know that people are aspirational in their admission essays. That's the point, right? Like, how could I have a bigger future than I can accomplish on my own if I make this investment in myself by going back to grad school, you know, and I like the kind of the honesty that you have, like, you know, it was a good idea, but I didn't know how to connect those dots. I didn't know how to make it happen. I like that, because, you know, we don't want people to be super conservative on their essays. We don't want people to be pie in the sky, you know, where there's that sort of sweet spot in the middle, you know, because that's when graduates, you know, how can we help you close that delta between what you're capable of before your MBA and what you're capable of at commencement, and then, like in your case, 5 years later.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was my older sister who is, you know, she has advanced degrees as well, and she, you know, when I was sitting there really struggling, figuring out how am I going to write these essays and apply, and like, you know, she's broken down to the basics. Well, why are you going back to school, and what are you doing, and what do you want to accomplish with it? And, you know, even though the question in the essays asked it, you know, having someone sitting in front of you and ask you those questions and staring back at you for an answer, you know, that's really, it really starts you to think on what you can do. And that's really why I said, well, you know, I would love to, you know, open my own firm one day. And having all the work experience for KPMG, I knew that there was a need for what I had, the market niche that I had created. I just didn't know then. I knew that there was something out there. And that's when I put in my essay saying, I know that this is what I want to do, and I know this is where I want to be. And I know that Anderson could help me, you know, to help me build that bridge to get there. And I know that the school is going to help me get there based on all the research of the courses at Anderson and everything else. I knew that those classes are going to, by sitting in there and taking those classes and learning from the professors and the student body, I know that that was the right bridge. And so that's really how, you know, when I applied, that's how I looked at it. And, you know, again, you know, putting it on paper and doing it are obviously two different things. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that I was able to actually complete that.
Yeah, well, I love it. You know, somebody, you know, my sister, a trusted advisor. Let me just sit down face to face, another human being, and start to ask that. I love that Start With Why book, Simon Semanek or whatever his name is. I can't pronounce it correctly. I apologize. But it's such a powerful thing. Why, you know, that we get into the who, what, when, where, and how, and we forget to answer the why. Why am I putting my time and effort into whatever it is, personal life, professional life? Well, So you went to Korea. You had one plane ticket to Korea, but you accomplished two goals during school with the one plane ticket. So you had both your Global Access Program company was from Korea, so you went over there for your research experience as part of your master's field study, your Global Access Program, and then but you set the timing up so that you could also be there to do an exchange with Seoul National University. That's kind of a unique way to go about it. Could you kind of think back to what that experience was like? Maybe tell people a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I wish that my job had allowed me to do more of those exchange programs. I had a couple other friends from school that did a bunch of them, but I'm so jealous just because I know the experience that I got from going to Seoul National University was really, really amazing. The learning about the business culture there, talking with leaders. I mean, the individuals that we got to speak to, you know, they were amazing, absolutely amazing. And the excursions and everything else we did were unbelievable. And then to couple that with our GAP program, so our company was headquartered in Korea. They were a company doing unified communication software, and they wanted to try to bring that to the U.S. And so when we started, as our GAP group, when we started looking at things and we saw that there was an exchange program, we thought it would be a perfect, thing to couple together just because we could directly apply it to our program. So, you know, it was a smart decision on our part. So we spent the first week there visiting our GAP company, doing on-site interviews, visiting their customers, and learning about what they were doing. And then the next week we spent at Seoul National University and meeting, you know, different leaders. And so to bring that all together, I mean, I don't know of another GAP group that did that, but I just know that totally, helped us with our not only our project, but just, you know, having a better understanding of where our GAP company was coming from. I mean, it really put a lot of perspective on it. So, you know, those trips are so invaluable. And, you know, anybody listening, to the extent that you can do those or fit it in, try to find a way to do it. Other friends that did, you know, they went down to Brazil. Other folks went to other places. I mean, nothing but positive things that came back. And if, you know, if anything was what I experienced when I went to Seoul, they're once in a lifetime opportunities, to try to take advantage of. So I would really, really encourage those folks that are thinking about it to definitely look at it. And it's such a great opportunity and such a great asset that the program has, to be able to do those things and those partnerships they have with those other universities. It was really, really neat.
Well, thank you for kind of letting people know what that was like for you. So we've covered, you know, the last 10, 12 years of your very busy life, but let's get very, very recent. So last weekend, two days ago, was alumni weekend. And here you are 5 years out, and you participated. So I don't know, any shout outs to your classmates or what was it like coming back? What are some reflections on the weekend just lived?
It was great. It was great to catch up with everybody. You know, you know, these bonds that you create in business school, once you reconnect with folks, it's almost like we hadn't skipped a beat. You know, everybody doing well, everybody successful, advancing in their career. And, you know, the chance to intermingle with some of the other classes and other grades other years as well. You know, I had a chance to talk with a few of them. But really neat to see everybody. And it is just to see the turnout, too. It was just... My fiance had come with me, and she was just like, wow, couldn't believe the turnout, couldn't believe how many people were there. And it's just a testament to the community, the Anderson family, of the involvement and people that they want to be involved. And you do get, you know, you're part of something much larger. And, to be able to go and reconnect with everybody, it's just, you know, not only a great networking opportunity, but just a great, you know, great way to kind of, relive some of the memories and things. And so our grad group got together, we all sat together for dinner and, you know, shared, you know, laughs and everything else. And then everybody had just a great, great time. Some people partied a little too hard. I was getting some pictures and text messages the next day. Some people feeling the effects, but everybody had such a fantastic time. And I look forward to the next reunion. And, you know, as a group, you know, again, coming together in these situations too, it helps rekindle some of these relationships. And again, I have a bunch of lunches set up now with a whole bunch of former classmates in the next couple weeks to kind of talk about business, how we can help each other, how we can learn from each other. So again, you know, those reunion opportunities, it just kind of rekindled things on that front as well. But what a great and fun time we had.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, I didn't get to go. So you got, and it was at Shutters, right?
Yeah, they had it halfway between Shutters and Hotel Del Mar, both really, really nice locations. So all the different classes were split up in different places, and then we all came back together at for the drinks and dancing portion of the evening. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't get to go to Saturday night, but I did see, I saw Christina Robertson and Natalia, a bunch of friends and faces from the 2012 class at lunch on Friday. So we had hugs all around and we're telling stories, because I was on that global immersion with India with some of your classmates, and we had some,
oh, wow,
we had some adventures when we got off the bus in Delhi that we should have never got off the bus. So we were doing a little reminiscing, but yeah, I was at a Cub Scout camp out in Brea over the weekend. I was getting rained on Saturday night in a tent with my 10-year-old while you guys were living it up at Shutters. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe you made the better choice of what to do with your week. Yeah. Although we had father-son bonding. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's so great too. The touch point of, you know, don't just smile and say hi in the evening, but yeah, let's have lunch. You know, how can your career help my career? How can my career help your career? Like, that's brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can't even tell you how many people. I didn't even get the chance to get to everybody because there were so many. You start a conversation, next thing you know, 20, 30 minutes in, you're like, wow, we've been talking for, you know, we need to, you know, let's continue this onto a lunch. But, yeah, just such a great, you know, opportunity to network and, you know, find different ways to help others and help yourself in your career. So
I think we should have an MBA class on. There's certain people who have that ability to just kind of float a room and actually, you know, like kind of cover a room. I don't have that ability. I'm like you. I get into a fascinating conversation and I look up and like, wow.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point. That would be a great class.
Yeah. Maybe not a class, but a workshop. Cause I think there's an art to it, you know, like let it have legs into next week or next month. Right. But you also,
yeah.
So, and then, yeah, and like you said, then there were other class years. So then there are people you did not go to school with, but they're all part of the Anderson network. And how do you use the opportunity to start to figure out who they are? Yeah. So, yeah, at the lunch on Friday, we had the 2012 table area was next to the 2007 area. So I was, you know, oh, this is Payam. He was a class president from 2007. Here, you know, meet Christina. She was really a rock star on FEMBA Council your year, you know, so it's trying to make connections like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've covered a whole lot, but let's kind of end the last part of the podcast with, you know, like what's new in your, you know, like living by learning, right? All of us get too much email, too many voicemails. There's too much data flowing in our general direction, and yet we have to deal with all that and save time for our fiance, in your case, you know, loved ones. And so what are some of your productivity tips that have been useful for you lately, you know, kind of personal work-life family balance, you know, anything and everything what's something, books you read, magazines? I've just added this to the podcast this year because A, I'm really curious, and B, I think, you know, people who are in FEMBA or alumni of FEMBA never stop learning. So.
Sure. Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that, that's helped me, I guess, in the last few years, it was something that I learned at my last firm, but obviously it's, you know, something that a foundation that was built at Anderson. It's just, you know, something called Be Here Now. And so, and that applies to both your kind of, you know, your time doing your business stuff and also home, you know, making sure that you're there and present, you know, with my line of work. Again, I don't, there's a lot sometimes of stress on your personal life, just because, again, I might have some plans or something that I was going to do, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call saying, hey, be on a plane tomorrow somewhere. And so, you know, a lot of that, it's hard to deal with and it's hard to juggle. But, you know, the mantra of Be Here Now, just saying, you know, whatever is in front of you, you know, pay full attention to that and then move on to the next thing. So whenever we conducted meetings or something like that, you know, we would always start with that Be Here Now and have everybody literally shut down your cell phone, shut off your computer, and focus on what you have in front of you, because, you know, all that other stuff, you know, all that other stuff can wait. And then, you know, when you take that home, you know, one thing that I was always doing was I would get home, and then even though I'd be at home, I would be on my laptop or on my computer, or maybe I'm talking to my girlfriend or family, and I have my, an email comes in, and I'm distracted, and then I start, answering it. So, making sure that when I get home, I'm there, I'm at home, because otherwise, work can consume everybody, and I think everybody that ends up going to Anderson, everybody's an overachiever, and everybody is, has a tremendous work ethic. So it's really important for us to make sure that when we're not doing those things, that we're giving that time, to family and loved ones, and being there for them, there for them. And so that's one thing that I've really tried to incorporate, from a productivity standpoint. And you think it'd be it's kind of counterproductive, because then you get home, you're not answering things. But, people understand it's almost infectious. It's something that I talk to clients about and things like that. When something comes up, I would say, look, I really have these other things I need to attend to, and I really, based off of this Be Here Now, I really need to make sure that's important. But that's not saying you're not important, and here's how I'm going to make sure I prioritize things that I'm going to do for you. And, when selling work, you'd be surprised how much work you can sell off based off of culture and not just a service. And in the last couple of years, I've seen how successful that is from a selling tactic as well. People really appreciate you. People want to work with people they like. And if more real you are, and the fact that they have families and things at home, you almost find this rapport that you create with these individuals that it just puts it on another level. So that Be Here Now is something that I've really tried to carry in my professional and personal life. And so that's one of the things, productivity, there's, I have more emails in a day than I can ever answer. And it's just a matter of, prioritizing, what I can put off today to tomorrow, and just making sure I'm communicating that to individuals. But, there's this, always this perpetual game of catch up. You go on vacation, you come back, you have a million emails. And, it's just learning to slow down, take one thing at a time, not being too overwhelmed, just because there's, that's real life, and you're never going to be able to get to everything. But, as long as you're acknowledging it and you do things in the right way, I think that people understand that. I think people understand what a digital age and things we live in. So, as long as you're setting expectations up front, I think that's really, that's really all it comes down to.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, the Be Here Now, that may be the title of this podcast. That's. And are you noticing anything, even from being an employee to being, the owner of your own firm? Is anything shifting in how you, or does that port over pretty well?
Yeah, I think, I'm lucky enough to where a lot of my work experience is obviously set me up to where I'm at now. That and, obviously, going to school. Just being comfortable in transitioning out, I think that, when you're at a bigger firm or a firm altogether, you're being pulled in so many different directions. Not only do you have to do your work, but there's an administrative burden, especially when you get to a leadership position. I was a director at Grant Thornton, and, I'm not only responsible for serving my clients, but also I have a lot of things that I need to do with the firm, and then also with other initiatives that are, kind of a broader growth perspective of the firm. So there's you're tugged in a bunch of different directions. So I think you almost go through, getting so overwhelmed and figuring out how to manage all that stuff. It really sets you up when you're going off on your own, because you learn how to prioritize, you learn what's important. My stress level, I think because of that, has been decreased since I left. Now, now it's towards something, my stress is on something else, which is just getting cash in the door, which is kind of important, but, it just switches. And so, I think that's been the main kind of thing that I've seen, your priorities change. But there's nothing that can supplant experience, and experience from business school and work. It all kind of culminates, and for me, it's culminated to this point now, where I feel that I'm the best professional that I can be based on all those experiences, to really put my best foot forward with this company, and learning from everything that I've done in the past to really. It's kind of put me at ease a little bit. It was a tough decision to leave, because I left the security of a good job and a steady paycheck. But I'm comfortable knowing what skills I have, how to apply those, how to find opportunities. And, all those things, fortunately are falling into place right now. So I'm really fortunate in that respect.
Well, I think you're fortunate, but I think, if sweat equity has anything to do with it, you've also been working really hard.
Yeah, really sweaty. Yeah. Sweat it, yeah.
And as you said, back with the family restaurant, you know, there's different kinds of sweat equity. I want to do the I want to do brain power sweat equity. I don't want to necessarily be filling up vending machines with my engineering degree.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Well, thank you. You know, for our listeners, Brian really didn't know he was going to have this interview. So obviously, he is an articulate human being because he had no lead time. We had this 2 o'clock call set up. I said, "Hey, what do you think we record a podcast?" He said, "Yes." All right, so thanks for being game. This is Brian Lopez, CFE, certified fraud examiner, now successful entrepreneur launching his own firm. You can look him up on LinkedIn. I'll put I'll put a link to his LinkedIn profile in the production notes underneath the podcast link. So we call this FEMBA Drive Time. There's a lot of highways and flyways in Southern California and the Western United States. And I think one way you can spend your time in a useful way is to meet some people in your extended UCLA Anderson network. And Brian is a fantastic human being. As I said, thank you for sending great candidates back our way. It was fun to reconnect. I'm so glad you had a fun 2012 5-year reunion. And I'm just so honored to know your story and to know you're really making that leap and going out on your own. I think, you know, the risk is there, but the rewards are there. And like you said, you know how to do it now. You've set yourself up to win. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Brian, for the conversation.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks, Dylan.
All right. And please tune in for our next episode when we'll interview another wonderful person from the UCLA Anderson family. Thanks very much.